Big deal, big decision.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Italian automaker Fiat said today it will not walk away from a deal to acquire a controlling stake in Chrysler. That's despite a U.S. Supreme Court stay on the sale. Now, Fiat has the legal right to turn away from the deal if the sale is not completed by June 15th. But a company spokesman today said they'll stay on board despite the new delay. The Supreme Court said yesterday it will hear challenges to the sale. The government watchdog charged with keeping an eye on the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, is out with a new report this morning. And as Ashley Milne-Tight reports, this one might be a little stressful for banks.
The Congressional Oversight Panel says bank stress tests were conducted in a conservative and reasonable way. But its report says regulators should keep carrying out tests as long as banks still hold large amounts of toxic assets. The report also says the rising unemployment rate could be a reason to repeat the tests across the board. When regulators devised the stress tests, their most adverse scenario included an average jobless rate of 8.9% for this year. Right now, that average is at 8.5%. The panel wasn't entirely satisfied with the transparency of the tests either. It wants regulators to give more details about the methodology behind them. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
By the way, we could get word today from the government about which of those big banks will be able to repay bailout funds. Not much action on Wall Street yesterday. The S&P and NASDAQ were down slightly, while the Dow added a couple of points at best to close at 87.64. Shares in Europe are higher right now. Benchmarks in London, Frankfurt, and Paris are on the plus side by less than a percent. Asian shares were mixed, but the Nikkei and Hang Seng both closed lower for the day in Asia. Authorities continue to comb the waters off the Atlantic Ocean, looking for clues as to why that Air France jet went down last week. All 228 people on board were killed. It was the worst aviation disaster in nearly 8 years. The maker of that doomed jetliner was coping with plenty of trouble already, even before the crash. Airbus has been hurt by nagging production delays, and it's struggling to hold on to customers who are having second thoughts about purchasing its new line of jetliners. Here's Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon.
The double-decker Super Jumbo A380 has been slow to take off with the airline industry. So Airbus is undoubtedly hoping to announce some new orders next week at the Paris Air Show, the world's largest aviation exhibition. So far this year, the European plane maker leads America's Boeing Corporation in new orders, but airline industry consultant Michael Boyd says it's a tough sell all around.
Aircraft sales are down in the U.S. and in Europe and across the globe because of the recession.
If that's not enough of a challenge, Airbus is now facing questions about whether faulty airspeed sensors might have played a role in last week's deadly crash of an A330 Air France jetliner. Still, Boyd doubts that one event will have any effect on orders for the new generation Airbus jumbo jet.
If you had airplanes falling out of the sky like we had with the first jets that came out by the British in the 1950s, yes. We don't have that here. We have a tragic event. We just got to accept the fact humans make mistakes and humans build airplanes and equipment that fails.
Airbus officials insist their A330 has become a reliable backbone of the world's transportation system. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
As if that weren't enough for the airplane industry today, GE Aviation told Reuters it expects orders this year to be cut in half.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by ConAgra Foods, the people behind brands like Marie Callender's, Hunt's, and Ready Whip. More at conagrafoods.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Today, Congress is looking at the idea of rebating gas-guzzling car and truck owners up to $4,500 for trading for something a little more fuel efficient. There are separate measures in the House and in the Senate. The plan is being debated as the next generation of eco-friendly cars are being marketed. Toyota is planning to trot out its new plug-in Prius later this year, and other car makers aren't far behind. But what kind of appeal will these cars really have? From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Jennifer Collins reports.
Edward Kerr wants to introduce you to something greener than your average hybrid.
This is the Ford plug-in hybrid Escape.
Kerr works for Southern California Edison, testing electric vehicles. Conventional hybrids run on both electricity and gas. This plug-in can go further on its electric motor.
Here we are, nice and smooth. Now we're up to about 30 miles an hour. Still electric.
In a conventional hybrid, the gas eventually has to kick in to recharge the battery. But in a plug-in hybrid, you recharge the battery by connecting the car to the grid.
What plug-in hybrid technology is doing is it's really going to start to unlock the true potential of hybridization. The gas hybrid gets it to a certain point. The plug will take it to the next level.
So the car will be able to run at higher speeds for longer periods on pure electricity. James Frankfurt tracks plug-in hybrids at the Department of Energy.
We've demonstrated the potential to get 100, 200, 300, up to 400 miles per gallon, depending on how the vehicle's driven.
Trouble is, in early tests, Frankfurt found plug-in hybrids weren't necessarily getting much better gas mileage than conventional hybrids. Paul Scott of Plug-in America says it's all about teaching consumers how to drive the cars.
You have to obviously charge the batteries.
Some test drivers weren't, and that meant the cars relied more on gas. And gunning the engine does the same thing. So if the cars are sold without any thought to consumer training...
Well, in that case, then people might not buy them.
But if consumers are properly educated, Ed Kerr says drivers could change their priorities.
Our parents, you know, it was all about miles per minute. Now it's all about miles per gallon. So it's all about how do you squeeze more and more and more efficiency out of the system.
That may depend on how efficient the auto industry is at teaching consumers a new way of driving. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Computer maker Apple says it is cutting the entry price for an iPhone in half. It's also unveiling new laptops for $300 less than previous models. The moves mark Apple's first dramatic price cuts since the recession began. Yesterday unveiled their new model of the iPhone, the 3GS. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.